Welcome to SNC's podcast series, SNC Critical Insights. Beginning in January 2020, the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, will have the potential to radically change how companies handle personal data. In this episode, SNC partners John Evangelakos and Nader Mousavi, co-heads of our cybersecurity practice, will explore the scope of the CCPA's requirements, its definition of personal information, and what enforcement will look like, among other topics related to the CCPA.
The California Consumer Privacy Act takes effect on January 1st, 2020. By now, many companies have been busy preparing to comply with the CCPA, but it's a good time to remind ourselves about what the CCPA is about and the new requirements it's going to impose on companies doing business in California. CCPA is the first law in the U.S. that's going to require businesses to tell consumers what types of personal data those businesses collect and hold, and also to provide consumers the right to delete the data that these companies hold and to prevent that data from being shared with third parties. Nader, could you run through, please, the scope of the CCPA?
Thank you, John. Businesses that are considering whether they are subject to the CCPA need to first consider the scope of the CCPA's requirements. The CCPA applies quite broadly to any organization that conducts business in California and meets one of three tests. An organization that has gross annual revenue in excess of $25 million, is engaged in commerce relating to personal information of 50,000 or more consumers, or derives 50% or more of their annual revenue from selling consumer personal information, will be subject to the CCPA. Further, any entity that controls or is controlled by an entity that meets that test will also be subject to the CCPA. So a subsidiary outside the state of California that is controlled by an entity that meets this test under the CCPA would, by the express terms of the CCPA, be subject to the CCPA. The second key question in considering the scope of the CCPA is the definition of personal information. The CCPA defines personal information very broadly, and even more broadly than Europe's law, the GDPR, that is similar to the CCPA in some respects. The CCPA defines personal information to mean information that identifies, relates to, describes, is reasonably capable of being associated with, or could reasonably be linked directly or indirectly with a particular consumer or household. This would include a broad category of personal information: name, address, IP address, signatures, social security numbers, bank account numbers, and the like, as well as commercial information, records regarding personal property, transactions, biometric information, geolocation information, and education and employment-related information. Personal information is defined very broadly under the CCPA and may capture information that even alone would not be identifiable to a consumer, but when combined with other information held by that business or that could be obtained from others, could be identified to the consumer, may be deemed personal information. John, now that we know what entities are subject to the CCPA and how the CCPA defines personal information, what rights does the CCPA give consumers?
Thank you, Nader. I think maybe the best way to think about this is to outline the five key rights that the CCPA creates for consumers, and then explain, based on that, the obligations that are imposed on companies doing business in California. Broadly speaking, these consist of the right of consumers to know what information is being collected about them, the right of consumers to access that information directly from those companies collecting it, the right to demand that information be deleted, the right to opt out of the sharing of that information with third parties, and the right to equal service. Let me talk a little bit about the first two, the right to know, the right to access. A covered business must affirmatively disclose at or before the time of collection what personal information it plans to collect, and the purposes for which this personal information will be used. The covered business is also required to disclose the personal information it has actually collected in the preceding 12 months, as well as the categories of personal information that it sold or disclosed for business purposes in the preceding 12 months, and to whom this information was sold or provided. The proposed regulations that the Attorney General has issued have explained how to view this obligation, in as much as if a covered business seeks to use personal information that it has collected for a different purpose in the future, one that was not disclosed at the time it collected the information, it must notify the consumer that it plans to do so and obtain explicit consent before doing so. In response to a verified consumer requests, a covered business must disclose personal information that it has actually collected from that consumer in the past 12 months and the categories of that consumer's personal information sold or disclosed for business purposes in the past 12 months. Businesses must provide at least two methods by which the consumers can make verifiable requests, including a toll-free number and an online form, with an exception for businesses that conduct their business online entirely, which will only be required to provide online access. That's per the proposed regulations. The statute also provides that businesses must respond within 45 days of the receipt of a request. It's important to point out that the company is obliged to verify consumer requests, and the proposed regulations require the business to establish, document, and comply with a reasonable method for verifying that the person making a request to know a request to delete is the consumer about whom the business has collected information. And there are a series of steps and factors to be taken into account in the proposed regulations, you know, that we would suggest that you review. You know, moving along, I think ancillary to the right to know is the right to access. And under this, the CCPA guarantees consumers the right to access the specific pieces of personal information that has been collected about them and provides upon companies the obligation to deliver that information to them by mail or electronically. Nader, can you explain the other rights and obligations that are provided to consumers under the CCPA?
Thank you, John. In addition to the right to know and the right to access, consumers that are subject to the CCPA have a right to delete, a right to opt out, and a right of equal service. These rights have been further explained by the California AG in regulations that should be consulted in connection with compliance. But at a high level, the right to delete is a right of a consumer to request the deletion of their personal information. That request is subject to various regulatory considerations and compliance considerations from a company, including how does a company ensure that that request is coming from the consumer that it purports to be. The California AG has regulations that apply to how to verify a request, and those should be consulted in evaluating consumer requests to delete information. The right to delete has a number of exceptions, some of which are quite clear, such as to comply with legal obligations or detect and maintain data security, but may require a number of judgment calls and implementation. And other exceptions to the right to delete are on their face potentially subject to varying interpretations. For example, a company is not required to delete information that's necessary to enable internal uses of data reasonably aligned with the expectations of the consumer based on the consumer's relationship with the business. The reasonable expectations of a consumer are certainly something that can be informed by the privacy policy and other information provided by a company to that consumer, but will be subject to determinations that will be fact-based. The next right of consumers under the CCPA is the right to opt out. This is a very important right. This is a right for consumers to opt out of the sale of their personal information to third parties. Now, again, the California AG has provided a number of regulations that help explain how companies that are subject to the CCPA should comply with the opt-out. And those regulations include a number of specifics about how the opt-out notice should be provided, the exact terms of those opt-out notices, as well as the occasions in which a business would be exempt from providing an opt-out. For example, if the company states in its privacy policy that it does not and will not sell personal information, and in fact doesn't do so, that company will be exempt from the opt-out notice. The final right under the CCPA is the right to equal service. Businesses are prohibited from discriminating against a consumer who exercises the rights under the Act, including, of course, the right to opt out of the sale of their personal information. The prohibition here is that businesses can't deny goods or services or charge them differential rates or provide them with a different level or quality of service. However, there is an important exception. The CCPA does allow businesses to charge different prices or rates or potentially provide different levels of service if the difference is reasonably related to the value of the consumer's personal information. This is also another area where each company that is exercising rights under this act must make a fact-based determination. What is reasonably related to the value of a consumer's personal information? Again, the proposed regulations by the California AG do provide some guidance on this issue, including a list of multiple factors or benchmarks that businesses may consider when determining what is the value of a consumer's personal information.
Thank you, Nader. I think it's worth pointing out at this point that the CCPA establishes a different regime for dealing with minors. The CCPA is largely an opt-out statute or a statute that's meant to require companies to act upon the instructions of consumers. Where a company has actual knowledge or willfully disregards that it is selling the information of a minor aged 13 to 16, it must seek out affirmative consent of that minor. For minors below 13, the company must seek the affirmative consent of the parents of the minor. The CCPA is going to impose significantly higher burdens upon companies that seek to collect the personal information of minors. The CCPA, apart from data breaches, does not provide for a right of private action by consumers. Only the California Attorney General may enforce the provisions of that statute, and consumers can make claims with the California Attorney General.
The Act provides for statutory damages of up to $2,500 for each violation and up to $7,500 for each intentional violation.
And these are violations following a 30-day cure period. It's important to point out here that under the statute, the California Attorney General is not going to be able to actually proceed with enforcement actions until July of 2020. However, and this is important, however, that is not a safe harbor, and the compliance with the statute begins on January 1, 2020, and the Attorney General is authorized to prosecute violations that date, you know, from that date on. The actions themselves just may be delayed until July.
With respect to data breaches, the statute amends the current California statute and actually does provide for a private right of action by consumers for businesses that have failed to implement reasonable security procedures and practices appropriate to the particular type of personal information. A showing of harm is not required.
Statute provides for statutory damages of $100 to $700 per violation or actual damages, whichever is higher. For purposes of the data breach statute, however, the very broad scope of personal information is narrowed considerably and is limited to a narrower range of information: Social Security numbers, California driver's licenses or ID numbers, account or credit card numbers in combination with security codes, medical information, health insurance information, passport numbers, biometric data, taxpayer or military ID numbers, or other unique government identifiers. The California Attorney General is also authorized to bring public enforcement actions for data breaches. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Nader with, you know, some final words on what clients should be doing to comply with the CCPA at this point.
Given that the CCPA will take effect on January 1st, 2020, companies should now be engaged in preparation for compliance. Companies should be doing a number of things to evaluate their compliance position under the CCPA and take the steps necessary to ensure compliance. First, companies should evaluate, are they a covered business under the CCPA? if they're based in California and meet the prongs for the test of a company that's covered, they are covered as a company. And then the next question should be, what personal information do you have as a company and do you collect from individuals that meet the requirements of the CCPA? This itself can be a fact-intensive exercise. Companies should identify what personal information they collect, where it's collected from, how it is used within a company, what third parties they may share that information with or sell it to. Steps need to be taken in order to comply with the consumer's rights under the CCPA, including the right to know and have access and the right to opt out. Companies should update their privacy policies to reflect the data that they collect and how it is used, and to provide appropriate notices to consumers. Next, if a company is engaged in the sale of personal information, they have to make sure that they have built in steps and functionality into their website and otherwise meet the requirements of the Act to provide consumers with a right to opt out of the sale of that personal information. Further, if a company is providing personal information to service providers or otherwise allowing third parties or vendors to access personal information, they should make sure that their agreements with those third parties are updated such that they are required to follow the rules of the CCPA with respect to that information, and also to ensure that those agreements can't be categorized as a sale and therefore triggering consumer opt-out rights. Finally, companies need to engage in adequate training within their organization for those who will be responsible for handling consumer inquiries about the practices and compliance steps necessary to comply with the CCPA, including how to direct consumers who wish to exercise their rights. If a business is engaged in the sale of personal information, companies also need to begin planning for how they will deal with those consumers who opt out and whether they will seek to potentially charge for their services in a way that would reflect the value of that consumer data. Finally, as a matter of good data protection practice, clients should take this opportunity to check their tabletop exercises for responding to data breaches and to ensure that they have the right policies and procedures in place to address data breaches, and that those policies and procedures and protections are reasonable and up to date.
Thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.solcrom.com.